Welcome to Zichu Daf Siman Member by Ram Goldar and today Masechet Shavuos Daf Mem Gimel, the sixth parak Shavuos HaDayanim. So the three topics are going to focus on. Number one, the Mishnah in the previous daf stated, Ein nishbayin el davar shebemida shebemishkel ushebeminyan. One only swears about something defined by measurement, weight, or number. Therefore, someone who partially admits to a claim of bais male, a house full of produce, wouldn't swear. Abai says this only applies to a claim of by stum, an unspecified house, but if he claimed by ze, this houseful of produce, then yedia ta'ante, his claim is known, meaning the houseful is measurable as well as the amount conceded by the nitba by measuring the produce currently in that house, and the nitba must swear. Rav objects that the Mishnah contrasts the first case with one who claims the produce filled the house at a ziz, up to the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds that it was only full at a chalon, until the window. According to Abai, the Mishnah should have taught that one even swears for a claim Abai Zeh. Rather, Rava says one only swears when both the claim and the admission can be precisely measured, like a claim of Adaziz and an admission of Adachalon. Abraisa supports Rava's opinion. Point number two, the next Mishnah discusses a lender who lost a mashkon, and they disagree over its value, which would determine if a balance remains or not, or if the mashkon is worth more than the loan, the lender would pay the difference. Depending on the claim and counterclaim, there may be a shvua of motiv b'miksas. The Mishnah concludes, Umi nishba, and who swears? Misha pikadon eitzlo, the one in possession of the deposit, meaning the mashkon. Shema yishava zev yotze hala es pikadon, because perhaps this borrower will swear to the mashkon's value and may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for eidus and shvuas. This refers to where the borrower admitted the mashkon was worth less than the loan, but claims it was more valuable than the lender claims, and is a motiv b'miksas. The Gemara first explains that although the borrower should swear, the rabbis remove the shvua from him and place it on the lender to swear and collect. However, Rav Ashi explained that the lender swears she'ein b'rishuso, that it is not in his possession, and the borrower swears kamah yashava, how much it was worth. Accordingly, the Mishnah merely means to teach that the lender swears first. And point number three, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avad kata de magla avad alfa zuzi, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz, because he cannot collect if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan. Rather, he merely deducts its actual value from the loan. Rav Nachman says he does lose half the loan in this case. However, if the mashkon consisted of a sickle handle and a silver bar, the bar is not a mashkon against half the loan. Since it is something collected for payment, the lender would only lose its actual value. The Nardin say that even in this case, if the naska is lost, the lender loses half the loan. The Mishnah, which clearly assumes that only the lost mashkon's value is deducted from the loan, is Bidabharish, where the lender explicitly said that his responsibility for the mashkon is only according to its value. So once again, the 3 points are, number one, the Mishnah in the previous daf stated, Ein nishbayin el al davar shebemida ushebemishkel ushebeminyan. One only swears about something defined by measurement, weight, or number. Therefore, someone who partially admits to a claim of bais male, a house full of produce, would not swear. Abai says this only applies to a claim of bais stum, an unspecified house. But if he claimed bais ze, this houseful of produce, then yedia ta'ante, his claim is known, meaning the houseful is measurable as well as the amount conceded by the nitba by measuring the produce currently in that house, and the nitba must swear. Rav objects that the Mishnah contrasts the first case with one who claims the produce filled the house at a ziz, up to the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds that it was only full at a chalon, until the window. According to Abai, the Mishnah should have taught that one even swears for a claim Abai Zeh. Rather, Rava says one only swears when both the claim and the admission can be precisely measured, like a claim of Adaziz and an admission of Adachalon. Abraisa supports Rava's opinion. Point number two, the next Mishnah discusses a lender who lost a mashkon, and they disagree over its value, which would determine if a balance remains or not, or if the mashkon is worth more than the loan, the lender would pay the difference. Depending on the claim and counterclaim, there may be a shvua of motiv b'miksas. The Mishnah concludes, Umi nishba, and who swears? Misha pikadon eitzlo, the one in possession of the deposit, meaning the mashkon. Shema yishava zev yotze hala es pikadon, because perhaps this borrower will swear to the mashkon's value and may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for eidus and shvuas. This refers to where the borrower admitted the mashkon was worth less than the loan, but claims it was more valuable than the lender claims, and is a motiv b'miksas. The Gemara first explains that although the borrower should swear, the rabbis remove the shvua from him and place it on the lender to swear and collect. However, Rav Ashi explained that the lender swears she'en b'rishuso, that it is not in his possession, and the borrower swears kamah yashava, how much it was worth. Accordingly, the Mishnah merely means to teach that the lender swears first. And point number three, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avad kata de magla avad alfa zuzi, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz, because he cannot collect if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan. Rather, he merely deducts its actual value from the loan. Rav Nachman says he does lose half the loan in this case. However, if the mashkon consisted of a sickle handle and a silver bar, the bar is not a mashkon against half the loan. Since it is something collected for payment, the lender would only lose its actual value. The Nardin say that even in this case, if the naska is lost, the lender loses half the loan. The Mishnah, which clearly assumes that only the lost mashkon's value is deducted from the loan, is Bidabharish, where the lender explicitly said that his responsibility for the mashkon is only according to its value. All right, so now we get our Siman Daf Mem Gimel, and our standard Siman is a magazine. So here goes. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up into the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz he had lent. Once again, slow motion. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines. Magazines? That must more on Duff. Mem Gimel. The lender who said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up into the window, which reminds us, modem mixes requires admitting to a defined amount, such as one who claims the produce filled the house at a ziz, up into the ceiling beam, and the nitba responds it was only filled at a chalon, unto the window. So the lender who said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which reminds us, in a dispute about the value of a lost mashkon, the lender swears, because perhaps the borrower will swear to the mashkon's value, and he may err in his assessment, and this lender will produce the deposit, and the borrower will become disqualified for edus and shvuas. So the lender who gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz that he had lent. Which reminds us, Shmuel taught that if one lent 1,000 zuz, and the borrower gave a handle of a sickle of little value as a mashkon, avakata de magla avad alpa zuzi, if he lost the sickle handle, he lost 1,000 zuz, because he could not collect it if he does not return the mashkon. However, if the mashkon was 2 sickles and he lost one, we do not consider each handle as against half the loan. Rather, he merely deducts his actual value from the loan. So once again, the lender who said he gave the borrower magazines that filled up to the ceiling beam of the house, and the borrower said he only borrowed enough up until the window, didn't notice that on top of the pile was Lost Mashkon magazine, covering the topic of who swears regarding its value, which was next to a lost sickle handle mashkon that a lender lost, which resulted in his not being able to collect the 1,000 zuz he had lent. All right, so now it's time for 4 Blabach Chazara. Daf Lamedtes, so the siman for Daf Lamedtes is a letter, and we often use a mailman in the siman. So here goes. The mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter. Mailman, a letter? That must be more on Daf Lamedtes. The mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shemel Kecho Ashav, which reminds us, a brisa teaches that Basin warns the defendant about the severity of swearing falsely. They say, Haviyodei Shekolam Kuo Nizdaza, you must know that the entire world trembled when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said at Har Sinai, Osisa Shema Shemel Kecho Ashav, you shall not take the name of Hashem your God in vain. The Gemara continues with detailing how the punishment for swearing falsely is more severe than all other averos. So the mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shemel Kecho Ashav, was taken aback when he claimed the homeowner owed him 2 silver maos for the stamps he bought, and the homeowner responded he only owed him a pruta, which reminds us, the more brings Malchokas if kfira of shtei kesef is required for motive b'mixas. So the mailman who experienced the ground shaking when he delivered the letter stating, Osisa Shema Shemel Kecho Ashav, was taken aback when he claimed the homeowner owed him 2 silver maos for the stamps he bought, and the homeowner responded he only owed him a pruta, and was relieved when the rabbi next door told the man he was chayv a motiv b'mixas shvua, since kesef is compared to kalim. in the pasuk, which reminds us, Rava said that pasuk can read more precisely according to Shmuel, who does not require a denial of more than a pruta. The pasuk says, "Ki yiten ish al reyu kesef o kelim lishmor," when a man gives his fellow silver or utensils to watch, teaching to compare the two items, ma kelim shnaim of kesef shnaim, just as kelim, being plural, are at least two, so two silver means a minimum of two silver coins. Also, ma kesef davar chashuv, and just as silver is significant, meaning it's valuable, of kol davar chashuv, so too all the items claimed besides kelim must be significant and have a value of two silver maos. Daf Mem, so the Simmer Daf Mem is a pool, so here goes. At the pool, that must be more on Daf Mem, Mayim. At the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, which reminds us, a braisa defines the parameters of a rule. Kol makom sheshnayim mechayvin osu mamon, wherever two witnesses would obligate the defendant to pay money, eid echad mechayvo shvua, one witness obligates him to make a shvua to deny the testimony. Since two witnesses can obligate a payment as little as a pruta, a single witness obligates swearing about the same amount. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth a pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, which reminds us the Mishnah taught that a nitba does not swear if he makes a partial admission of a different item from the one claimed. For example, if the toveya demanded a payment of wheat and the nitba admitted to owing him some barley, Rav Gamliel disagreed. Shmuel said, "Tano chitim saorin," if he claimed against him wheat and barley. And the nitba admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. So at the pool, the lifeguard who made a boy swear that he didn't borrow a toy boat worth of pruta based on the testimony of one witness, while a boy splashing in the water who admitted to owing his friend a beach ball but denied borrowing his goggles also had to swear, told the kid on the diving board to take a shvuas hesis after denying the claim he popped his friend's inflatable raft, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one who completely denies a claim is not obligated to swear. Rav Nachman says, "Umashmin oso shvuas hesis," but they do have him swear a hesis oath. He explains, "Chazaka in adam toveya elim ken yesh lo alav." There's a presumption that a person does not demand payment unless he actually has a legitimate claim against him, so the nitba should swear to contradict him. The Gemara objects that, on the contrary, chazaka in adam meis panav bifnei bal chovo. There's a presumption that a person is not so brazen as to falsely deny his debt in his creditor's presence. His denial indicates he's telling the truth and he should not have to swear. The Gemara answers, "Ishtamutihu dekemishtamitle." It is possible he's trying to temporarily evade his balchov until he has the money to repay him, and this is not a brazen denial. Daf Memov, so the Simmer Daf Memov is a grandma. So here goes. The grandma, that must be more on Daf Memov. The grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, which reminds us, Rav Nachman said that although there's no shvuah deraisa for someone who completely denies a debt, he must swear a shvuah hesis, which is midrabban. The Gemara seeks enough kamina between a shvuah deraisa and a shvuah derabban, since he must swear regardless. It first explains, mepach shvuah, if the nitva can reverse the shvuah, meaning instead of swearing to be exempt, demand that the toveah swear to collect. He cannot do so for a shvuah deraisa, but he can reverse a shvuah derabbanan. So the grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two edim, so the borrower must repay in front of edim, which reminds us, Rabasi said, "Hamalbes chavero be'edim," if one lends his friend in front of edim, tzarech lefaro be'edim, the borrower must repay him in front of edim and is otherwise not believed to say he repaid. Shmuel disagreed because the borrower can say, "Pratich bifnei poni uponi b'halchu lehem u'minin sayam," I repaid you in front of poni and poni, and they went overseas and can't testify. So the grandma, who was incensed when her neighbor denied borrowing money to buy knitting needles and demanded that she should swear, was advised by one grandson that next time she should lend in front of two edim, so the borrower must repay in front of edim, and taped a reminder note on her rocking chair that anyone who says, "I have not borrowed," is like one who says, "I have not repaid." Which reminds us, a man once demanded repayment of 100 ziz loan, and the nitba replied, "Lohi udvarim ma'olam," it never happened, meaning I never borrowed from you. Witnesses came forward and testified that he did borrow the money, but had already repaid it. Rava argued, "Kol omer lo levisi, kol omer lo parati dami." Anyone who says, "I have not borrowed," is like one who says, "I have not repaid," since according to his claim, he never borrowed, he would never have paid. Therefore, although Aiden testified that he paid, he must still pay based on his personal admission, as Rashi explains, because Udaz Baldin Kamea Aiden, a litigant's admission is like 100 witnesses testifying. Daf Mem Beis. So the Siman Daf Mem Beis is a mobster. So here goes. The mobster, mobster. That must mean we're on Daf Mem Beis. The mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment but claimed it was sitrai, which reminds us a lender once demanded a payment of 100 ziz loan, which the borrower claimed he paid, but the lender replied, "Hani sitrain, these monies were for a side debt." Rav Nachman said, "Itra shtar, the document is weakened since the lender agreed he received payment and he could not collect with the shtar." Rav Papa said the shtar is not weakened. So the mobster was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sidrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, which reminds us, the Mishnah taught that one does not swear against the claim of a katan, but then states that one does swear to a katan. Rav explains that this case is Bevo Batanis Aviv, when he comes with his father's claim, following Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, who ruled that if one says a mon of your father's was in my possession and already paid half of it, he must swear. The Chachamim say, Inu Elo Kamesh Vavedo Apater. He's like one who returns lost property and is exempt from swearing. The Malchus is ultimately explained based on Rabbah's rationale for the Shvuah, a mode of bemixas. So the mobster who was dismayed when he couldn't use a shtar to collect after admitting he received payment, but claimed it was sitrai, got nachas from his mobster son who got a modem of mixas out of someone who borrowed money from his dad, the boss, and was careful to claim only cash, knowing there's no shvuah for avadim karka or shtaros, which reminds us, the next Mishnah states, ve'el dvarim she'ein nishpoin alehen. These are the things about which one does not swear, avadim, shtaros, karkos, ve'hekdeshos, slaves, documents of debt, land, and hekdesh. Additionally, a thief does not pay kefil for stealing them, and one would not pay 4 or 5 times the value after stealing and shechting or stealing an animal of hekdesh. A shomer chinam doesn't swear about these items that their loss was not due to his negligence, and a shomer sachar does not pay if they're lost or stolen. Rabbi Shimon says one does swear about kachin shechai b'charai son. All right, so now it's time to conclude with our pop quiz of 10 questions. Number 1. Which daf do you discuss swearing mode but mixes to a katan when he comes with his father's claim? That's on daf Mem Beis. Good. Number 2. Which daf in the Shmuel said, if one claimed against another wheat and barley, and the nitbat admitted to him one of them, he is obligated to swear. That's on daf Mem. Good. Number 3. Which daf did we learn that motive of mixas requires admitting to a defined amount? For example, the lender said he gave produce ad aziz, and the borrower said it was only ad achalon. That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 4. Which daf do we learn that, according to Rav Asi, if one lends in front of Edim, the borrower must repay him in front of Edim? That's on daf Mem Aleph. Good. Number 5. Which daf do we discuss when a mashkon is lost? Who swears regarding his value, the lender or the borrower? That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 6. Which daf has the long mishnah discussing the shvuah of modem and mixas? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 7. Which daf do you discuss combining different claims for a pruta's worth of value? That's on daf Lamed Ches. Good. Number 8. Which daf do you discuss swearing about karka regarding shvuas bikadon or shvuas ha'edus? That's on daf Lamed Zayin. Good. Number 9. Which daf do you discuss what is the din when a mashkon worth far less than the loan is lost? For example, a sickle handle given as a mashkon. That's on daf Mem Gimel. Good. Number 10. Which daf do we learn about the severity of swearing falsely and the fact that the whole world shook when a Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Osisa Hashem Hashem El Kecho Ashav? That's on daf Lamates. Excellent. That concludes today's shiur. This is Rabbi Avraham Goldar from Zichur, wishing you a great day and great learning.